Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special Beis Medrash Rav Menashe Pirkei Avos Shir, as we are counting towards Sinai, and it is these weeks during Pesach and Shavuos that we have a custom to read one parak of Pirkei Avos a week on Shabbos afternoon. This coming Shabbos is the third parak of Pirkei Avos. So I was looking through the parak of Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Yama, and I think that I chose something, a Mishnah to focus on that perhaps is not so typical. If you have a Pirkei Avos in front of you, even if you have a sitter, it might be helpful for you to just open it up and see it inside. So I'm in Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. Okay? I'll be Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, chapter 3, Mishnah 7 in Pirkei Avos. I think it's not one of the more typical or oft-quoted ones, certainly by women. It's not greet everyone with a smile. It's not know where you're going and know where you came from. Something a little bit different, but I think that it speaks to us very much in our time. So the Mishnah tells us in Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, okay? Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa o Ish Kfar Chananya Omer. Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa, a man from Kfar Chananya, says. So there's a question for us, so Rav Lau Shlita teaches in his Pirkei Avos, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos Yachal Yisrael, who exactly was this Rav Chalafta ben Dosa? So there's a machlokas. Either he lived in the third generation of the Tanaim, and therefore he actually saw the Beis Hamikdash before it was destroyed. Among his colleagues, Rav Chanina ben Trajan. Chanina ben Trajan was one of the Asar who made Harugay Machus. Others, however, identify Rabbi Chalafta with Abba Chalafta of Kfar Chananya, who belonged to the fifth generation of Tanaim, a student of Rabbi Meir. If so, he lived after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So there's a question of exactly who he was. Did he live pre-Churban Beis Hamikdash or post-Churban Beis Hamikdash? While whatever we hold and whoever it is, this is what he taught. Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa ish Kfar Chananya Omer. Again, Mishnah Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin and Pirkei Avos. Asara sheyoshvin va'oskim b'tar. When there are 10 who sit and learn Torah together, Shechina shuruya b'neihem, the Shechina dwells amongst those 10. So when you have a minion of 10 men and they're learning in a shir, so the Shechina dwells. How do you know? Because the pasuk says in Tehillim, Elokim nitzav ba'adas kel. God, so to speak, stands in the assembly of God. So if you have 10, the Shechina is there. Let's say you have 10 men sitting and learning Torah. I should say 10 people sitting and learning Torah. How do you know that the Shechina is there? Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Amos, va'aguda so al eretz yisada. Okay, he founded his group upon the earth. So if you have 10 sitting and learning together, the Shechina is there. And if you have 5 sitting and learning together, the Shechina is there. Uminayin afilu shlosha. And where do you know, from what pasuk in Tanakh do you know, that even if you have 3 sitting and learning together, that the Shechina is there? Shenemar bekerav elokim yishpa. In the midst of the judges, God shall judge. You don't have 10 sitting together and learning. You don't have 5 sitting together and learning. You don't have 2. You don't have 3 sitting together and learning. You only have 2. And nevertheless, Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa ish Kfar Chananya teaches that even if you only have 2, there the Shechina is, like the pasuk says in Malachi, "Az nidberu yirei Hashem ish areihu." Then the God fearing spoke one man to his friend, "Vayakshev Hashem vayishma." God paid attention and he listened. So now the Mishnah teaches you that even if you have only 2 people sitting in a chavrusha shap, that means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is still there. Shechina shuruya b'neihem. And then the Mishnah concludes. And the Mishnah says, again, please, I recommend it would be easy for you. If you want to just open up the Mishnah, it's in any Siddur, Mincha Shabbos afternoon. We're in Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. And what we're learning is this idea that where is the Ribbono Shel Olam found? He's found amongst the minion of 10 who sit and learn Torah. He's found amongst 5 who sit and learn. He's even found amongst 3 who sit and learn. He's even found in a Beis Medrash when there's only 2 people and they're having the Chavrus and they're sitting and learning, there's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then the Mishnah says, "Uminayin afilu echad." Even if there's only 1 person who's sitting and learning Torah, there the Shechina is found. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, this is quoting a pasuk from Parashas Mishpatim in the book of Shmos, in the aftermath of Matan Torah. We have the pasuk that says, "Bechol hamakom asher azkir es shemi." Avo elecha uveirachticha. Any place which I permit my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and I will bless you. If you know that the lashon there is in the singular, b'chol hamakom asher azker ashmi, any place I allow my name to be mentioned, avo elecha. God says I will come to you. It doesn't say elechem, to you in the plural. It says elecha, to you the singular. Uveirachticha, I will bless you. Not in the lashon rabim, not in the plural. But God says I will come to you and I will bless you. So when I was looking through, the Rebbetzin asked me, thank you for inviting me to speak, Rebbetzin, and the Rebbetzin asked me to speak on Perek Avos, Perek Gimel. So I'll tell you the truth. L'maisa, as soon as I opened up Perek Gimel, I thought I was going to talk on the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah tells us I'm just turning to the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah tells us, if you pay attention to three things, you won't sin. Know where you're coming from, know where you're going, and know before whom you will give adin b'chashbon. It's very impactful, it's very powerful, and there's a lot to learn from that. And then, as I looked a little further into the Perek, and I came across this Mishnah, I thought to myself, it's really speaking to us. We are used to living our lives in a community, where there's groups of 10. 10 come together to daven, 10 come together to learn. My husband participates in Rabbi Willig's Amud Yomi, now they're doing it over Zoom, Baruch Hashem. So maybe that's a smaller group, not everyone could get up at 5 to 6 in the morning and come together and learn. But even when there's 5 people, the Shechina is there. And even when there's only 3 people, it's a small shir, the Shechina is there. And even when there's 2 people in a Chavrusa Shav, the Shechina is there. And now we find ourselves in uncharted waters. Did I say that right, Ma? Uncharted territory. We don't remember in our lifetime. The previous generation doesn't remember in their lifetime any such thing where we're sitting alone. Baruch Hashem, we could connect through Zoom, and Baruch Hashem, we connect through teleconference. But we don't spend the whole day on teleconference. We don't spend the whole day on Zoom, and much of the time, it's afilu echad. A person has to be mechazik. We have to know that even when we don't have the chizuk of the community, when we don't have the chabura of the minyan, when we don't have a shir in person and we can't draw sustenance from the people we are sitting next to, when you sit down and you read a Dvar Torah, when you sit down on your lunch break, do we mothers even have a lunch break these days? I don't think so. And you sit down and you learn, when you sit down and you say your kapitel of Tehillah, if you have 2 minutes to read a Dvar Torah, there the Shechina is, because the Pasuk says in Yisro, in the aftermath of Matan Torah, Perachav is the Perak of Aser Sadibros, Hashem says at the conclusion of the Perak, at the conclusion of Parshas Yisro, V'chol makom asher azkir ashimi avo elecha uverachticha. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau teaches, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau and Yachal Yisrael, quoting from Lau and Pirkei Avos, the Vilna Gaon teaches that every word of Torah that a Jew learns is its own mitzvah. Every single word of Torah, just like the Chavetz Chaim teaches, the Chavetz Chaim teaches that every word of Lashon Hara is its own Aveira. The Vilna Gaon teaches that every word of Torah that a Jew learns is a separate mitzvah. Therefore, whoever learns causes God's presence to dwell amid the Jewish people. Since the cessation of the Beis HaMikdash, there is no other activity that reveals God's presence as much as Limud Torah. So when we had Korbanos, we had a way to bring the Shechina down to this world in a very clear way. Today, the only thing that brings the Shechina down as being osek in Torah, being osek in mitzvos. Okay. The Mishnah says that although God is everywhere, we learn from this Mishnah, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau says, although the Ribbono Shel Olam can be found everywhere, in order to find Hashem, so to speak, Hashem is everywhere, Malah Haaretz Kavodo, in order to find the Ribbono Shel Olam, a person must open his heart. So I have to make myself a receptacle, open to a Kli of Torah, and I can't use the excuse, I can't go to Shul, I can't go to Shir, I can't be mechazek by the presence of the Aguda, I'm just by myself. What does God expect from me when I'm by myself in my house? And my chavrusa shaft has been taken away from me, and base medrash has been taken away from me, and base knesses has been taken away from me, and the rabbi's drasha has been taken away from me, and the power of feeling, the power of the klal, the rav am hadros melech, has been taken away from me. So how can I be mechazik? How can I connect to God? What does Hashem want from me? I'm just by myself. I need the power of the community. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that if a person opens his heart and allows the Ribbono Shel Olam in, even one person, that's where Hashem is found. And Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau quotes 2 teachings from Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev and another one from the Kotzk Rebbe. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev was a little boy and someone challenged him, Levi Yitzchak, I'll give you a ruble if you tell me where God is found. And Levi Yitzchak replied, I will give you two rubles if you tell me where he is not found. Similarly, the Kotzk Rebbe, when he was asked, where is God to be found? The Kotzk Rebbe replied, wherever you will let him in. And if we're living in such challenging times, and we are living in challenging times, I'm very thankful to the woman who took the time to call in. I had to be here. But you didn't have to be here. We're all tired. We're all challenged by Baruch Hashem, we should be well and we should be healthy, but by running the household and keeping everyone happy and getting the food and keeping things clean, and washing so many dishes, and feeding 3 meals a day. And a person can't use that as an excuse to disconnect from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't say, Hashem, I'm only one person. What do you want from me? Hashem, I'm by myself. Lo tov hayos adam levado. I say they're connected. And there are some people who are mamish alone during this very difficult nisayon, like literally alone. And a person has to know that even when they're alone, there the Ribbono Shel Olam is found. As long as they open their heart to God, as long as they open their mind, their intellect, their emotion, their passion to Limud HaTorah, and you sit down for those few minutes a day and you dedicate yourself to connecting with God, so there he is. I will give you a ruble if you tell me where God is. And the little boy replied, I will give you 2 rubles if you tell me where he is not. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau writes, originally God's presence was revealed in the Mishkan, after that in the Beis HaMikdash, and it manifested vividly in the open miracles during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, after the destruction of the Temple ever, after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Torah learning remains the sole means of causing God's presence to rest upon a person. You want to bring the Shekhinah down, you have to be Oseik in Torah. And if you want to open your heart to living a godly life, you have to be Oseik in some sort of Torah learning. And we can't say, Hashem, you took away the Aguda, and you took away the Minyan, and you took away the 3 judges. And you can't say you took away Mechavrusa Shaft. We have to overcome. We have to rise over the challenge. We have to find the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if you're all alone. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau quotes the following Medrash from Medrash Shemos Rabbah. The sages tell the parable of a king who had an only daughter. Another king married her and wished to take her home. So you have a king, he had a daughter, she was a princess. She married another king from another province and the king wants to take her home. And her father, the king, said to his son-in-law, the king, I cannot bear to part from my daughter, but I cannot tell you not to take her since she is now your queen, she's your wife. But do me a favor, wherever you go, set aside 1 room so I can live with you there. So Hashem tells the Bnei Yisrael, and again, this is Medrash Shmos Rabbah 33:1, not a story. So Hashem tells the Jews, I gave you the Torah. I cannot bear to part from it, nor can I tell you not to take it. Rather, wherever you go, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Knesset Yisrael, his bride, make me a house, make me a room. You're going to set up a whole house. You're going to have bedrooms, you're going to have a kitchen, you're going to have a den, you're going to have a living room, a dining room, a laundry room. Maybe you're lucky enough to have a mud room where you dump all the knapsacks and the muddy boots and the leaves in the fall and the sand in the summer. You're going to think of everything that you built in your house. Don't forget, says Hashem, I need a room in your house. Wherever you go, make me a house in which I can dwell. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. And how do we build a house for the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives? By opening our hearts to Torah. The Mishnah, I think, is being mechazik us. It's being mechazik me. We're not in groups where we derive chizuch from each other. There's no minyan. There's no Yehi Shmei Rabbah. There's no Amid Yomi at 5 to 6 in the morning with a few men sitting and learning, getting up early to be Marbitz Torah with Rabbi Berg. There's no 3. There's not even 2. But the Mishnah says, Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa ish kvar Chananya Omer, Uminayin afilu echad, sheyoshev ba'osek b'torah, shechina shura b'no, v'chol ha'makom asher azker shemi avo elayich uverechticha. God's presence rests, says Rabbi Lau, within one person. God will come to you, lashon yachid, avo elecha uverechticha. Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to make for him a home, says the Medrash. The question is if we do or if we do not. And the choice is ours. I once saw a beautiful quote by Rabbi Riskin. Rabbi Riskin said, to be alone with God is to be with the majority of one. And a person, a Jew, when they have the Ribbono Shel Olam in their lives, is never really alone. Imagine living without purpose, without connection. Make a kav, a line, an unbreachable line between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, hope to God. Strengthen your heart and hope to God, but kav is also a line. And we can all find room for Hashem in our lives with all the things we build in our homes, with all the luxuries and all the necessities and all the conveniences. My mother used to tell me, or does tell me, about her mother-in-law, Hashem, the wringer washer. To wash laundry. We have so many conveniences. We have so many pleasures. We have so many luxuries. You have to ask yourself, do I build a home? Do I build a room? for the Ribono Shel Olam? Am I connected to God? And I can say, Hashem, you took away my chizuk, you took away my chabura, you took away my community, and I'm all alone. It's just me and you. What do you expect from me? That's not an excuse for us to have a yerida in our ruchnis. It might be a harder challenge now to overcome the solitude. It might be more difficult to maintain our level when we have so many things in our home distracting us. I mean, generally, we don't feel three meals a day to the whole family, kinai nahara. We don't have so many dishes every day. It's not so complicated to get groceries. Every person has to feel that connection to God, even if you're one, the Mishnah says. That's where Hashem will come. That's where Hashem is found. As long as you open your heart and your mind to God. B'chol makom asher azkir eshemi, wherever I allow my name to be mentioned, evo elecha, avo elecha verachticha. And it's a big chizuk. And it's a statement on the times in which we live. Like Rabbi Riskin said, to be alone with God is to be with the majority of one. Don't worry if you're alone. As long as you're with Hashem, you are with the majority. Miriam Peretz, we just observed Yom HaZikaron this week and celebrated Yom HaAtzma'ut. And by now, Miriam Peretz is a name that is known to all. Miriam Peretz lost two sons in the IDF, if by some chance you have not heard of her. She lost two sons in the IDF. And she speaks to schools and she speaks to IDF soldiers. Miriam Peretz says, the feedback I receive from schools regarding my meetings with youth encourages me tremendously. I often ask myself, as my son Eli Raz did, why I came into this world? What is my mission? What am I supposed to do? I have no answer, says Miriam. But when a student comes up to me at the end of the meeting and she says, Miriam, you inspired me. You gave me strength and direction. I feel that I gained from this student as much as he gained from me. Each of us in turn gave and received. This is why, says Miriam, even on the hardest days, before a memorial ceremony, or when I wake up in bed and my head is spinning, I do not allow myself to stay in bed. And why am I bringing you this quote, besides the fact that Miriam Peretz is a very inspiring woman, full of amunah? Listen to the next lines. I have never required a minimum number of participants at these meetings. I believe in lighting single candles. She doesn't care if there's 100 people in the room, or if there's 10 people, or 5, or 3, or 2, or 1. She will go to be mechazik. She says, I never require a minimum number of participants at these meetings. I believe in lighting single candles. When I see a spark ignited in the heart of one person, I am sure that spark will spread to others. Hashem doesn't need us to be in a big aguda to light our hearts on fire. Hashem doesn't need us to be in a minyan to feel the enrichment and the ruchnias and the aliyah that comes with learning Torah. He just needs us to want to let him in. And when we do, our hearts will be ignited. Our hearts will be inspired. And then that inspiration will spread. And we will make sure we remain connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. We will remain with the majority of one. Even while we cannot be together with each other, do we daven that the Beit HaKnesiot should be open, that the Beit HaMidrash should be open, that the yeshiva should be open? Of course we do. And of course we daven for Minyan again. And of course we daven for the Aguda again. But while we do not have it, we have to derive chizik from the fact that even if you're a lone person, if you're alone with the Ribono Shel Olam, that's where Hashem comes and he allows his name to rest. It's very, very interesting. Ma, are you still here? Yeah. Ma, look. This came in the mail for you. Okay, I got my mother's mail. I have the schutz of getting my mother's mail, so usually Baruch Hashem, she comes to New York often. Sim?
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone's not muted, ladies. If someone is not muted, can you please mute yourself? It's causing some people distraction. If you could please mute, if everyone could just look at the bottom of the screen and press mute, it would be very helpful. Okay, someone's not muted. So this is commentary. I never read this. I get the mail from my parents, Baruch Hashem, and I just put it aside. But since I don't know, I hope I'll see you soon, but I'm not sure when, I decided to look at commentary last night. And I read a very interesting article by Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik. Meir Soloveitchik is a grandson of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal. And it was actually called... One second. Thank you. Okay. It is called Sermons in Solitude. Okay? Sermons in Solitude. So I happened to read it last night. And then this morning I had the idea to focus on this Mishnah. Can a person find God when they're alone? Can a person connect without the chizuk of an environment? Can I maintain my level of ruchnias without the minyan, without the kehila, without the base knesses, without the berov am hadras melach? If this is what God wants of me now, then I have to rise to the challenge. And it's not easy, and it's a challenge, but we have to rise. And he writes, Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik is the rabbi of Congregation She'eri Israel, I'm not sure you pronounce it, She'eri Israel in New York City. And the director of the Strauss Center for Torah and Western Thought at Yeshiva University. And in this article, Sermons in Solitude, he quotes from Menachem Begin. I mention my hero, Menachem Begin. While in prison in his native Soviet Union in 1940, Menachem Begin was subjected to an extreme form of isolation by his communist torturers and the secret police division called the NKVD. He was forced to stare at a wall for 60 hours. Begin was described as the most Jewish of Israel prime ministers. If you haven't read about him, you should. Begin was so very alone. Extreme form of isolation. He was forced to stare at a wall for 60 hours. But even then, he was not truly lonely. Through covenantal connection, the connection with the Brishol of Ram Avinu, he was transported to the most beloved moments in his life. Begin writes that in those 60 hours, he was transported to the most beloved moments in his life. Even a point, and I'm quoting from Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik's article, who quotes Menachem Begin's memoirs, even a point on a wall can conjure up again pictures that one has forgotten. And help one to forget. Even a point on a wall can tell of home. Even a point on a wall can tell of the hot tears that fall from a child's eyes because of a bad mark he received from the teacher. Not because he has not learned, not because he didn't know the lessons, because he did not want to write in a Gentile school on Shabbos. And he wanted to say in the face of humiliation and the contempt for his people, yes, I am a Jew and I am proud, so I will not take the test today. Even a point of the wall on the wall reminds you of this. As you sit and stare at the wall, Begin wrote, a miracle occurs. The reality imposed upon you disappears entirely. And the reality for which your soul yearns, upon which even the NKVD cannot impose its will, appears in all of its splendor. Even from solitude, a person could find the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam can certainly find that person. If we but accept upon ourselves to live a meaningful life, even under the circumstances. And we cannot compare our solitude today to the solitude of Menachem Begin, who was forced to stare at a wall for 60 hours. Who conjured up memories of the hot tears that fell from his eyes. Who conjured up his Shvira Shabbos at the expense of good grades. Who conjured up a different reality entirely that appeared in all of its splendor, even from solitude. As the Mishnah says, Afilu achad sheyoshev ba'osek b'torah, Shechina shura beino. The Shechina there is found. We're living in times where it's easy, perhaps, for our level in Ruchnias to fall. We're not on a normal schedule. It's harder to make time for the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's harder to find that niche in the corner of your busy home, your messy house. You're constantly running home. Where's the place for God? And he comes knocking and he says, where do I live? Where do I belong? Where is my place in this house? And the dishes and the cooking and the meals and the groceries and the alcohol, your hands and alcohol, the doorknob. And did you touch anyone? Are you too close to your friend who came to visit on the lawn? And Hashem comes, kodo di dofek, pischili rayasi. Yonasi, Tamasi, open up for me, my beloved, says Ribbono Shel Olam. Say, Hashem, I'm in solitude. What do you expect? One person, I should be mechazik. One person. You alone. There the Ribbono Shel Olam can be found, if we but let him in. Going to finish with a story that's told over by Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. Rav Soloveitchik was Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik's great-uncle. So the Rav tells over the following story. He told this over in 1968. I once heard the following story from my father. His father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal. It was most probably a true story, since the stories that were transmitted in our family from generation to generation are mostly true. They are not, he says, like Hasidic stories where miracles happen. In brackets, the audience laughs. These stories, which have been told and passed down from generation to generation, are true. They do not deal with miracles. They deal with natural phenomena. I do not know whether everybody here knows or has heard of the famous Ger Tzedek in Vilna. This was said in Motzei Shabbos before the first night of Slichos in Boston, September 1968. I'll just tell you the PS to the story when my son went to Poland 2 years ago, 3 years ago before Pesach on the Heritage Tour. He saw the castle of this famous family. When he sent the picture, I couldn't believe it. I said, if Soloveitchik speaks about this famous family. So let me tell you the story. There was a famous Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert in Vilna. The Ger Tzedek was the son of the famous Polish Count Potocki. My son was by the palace of Count Potocki. His father was one of the leading aristocrats of Poland. Almost half of Lithuania belonged to Count Potocki. He served as a feudal lord. Feudalism prevailed in Poland until the end of the 18th century. His son, Count Potocki, became known in history as the Graf, G-R-A-F, or the Count. Somehow he converted and he became a Jew. This Count Potocki's son became a Jew. I, says Rav Soloveitchik, was at his grave in Vilna. Now the communists have destroyed his grave. Graf Potocki was sent to one of the famous universities in Italy. It was customary for Polish aristocracy to send their children to Italy for advanced studies. And apparently he was in Italy and he became acquainted with the Jews. He abandoned Catholicism, he embraced Judaism, and this Count Potocki became known as the Graf, G-R-A-F, became a pious Jew. Because conversion to Judaism was prohibited in Italy, he returned to Holland. He remained in Holland, but then he became lonely. He wanted to return to his homeland, to Lithuania, so he came to Vilna. However, he was afraid to remain in Vilna where he might be recognized. In Poland at that time, Lithuania was part of Poland, conversion to Judaism was considered a capital crime. So he traveled to a small town called Ilya near Vilna, where he sat and he studied. The local Jews in this town of Ilya discovered a young man. He sat in the base medrash all day, studying. He led a saintly life. And they found out he was not a born Jew. He was a convert. He was a son of the famous aristocratic family, Potocki. It seems that once a boy was making noise, and the Graf, this famous convert, told the boy to be quiet. The boy went home and told his father, the man in shul told me to be quiet. The boy's father, a shoemaker, said to the Graf, you are not a Jew. You told my son to be quiet. The father of the boy informed the police. That was all that was necessary. As a matter of fact, my uncle told me, there was a certain family in Ilya, which was called the family of Mosrim, informers. It was their ancestor that informed the police about Graf Potocki. They arrested him. They offered him, if you renounce Judaism and return to Catholicism, your life will be saved. You will be restored to your former glory. He resisted all pressure and he insisted on remaining a Jew. He was sentenced to death and he was executed on the second day of Shavuos, 1749, in the Cathedral Square in Vilna. After his execution, his body was cremated. Jews disguised as Poles came and collected as much as they could of the ashes for Kvur Yisraelis. This story is a historical fact, says the Rav. I heard the following detail from my father, who heard it from his father, Rav Chaim, who heard it from his father, Rav Yashar Ber, who heard it relayed in the name of Rav Chaim of Elazhen, the student of the Vilna Gaon. So we have an Oral Masori, or a Torah Shabbal Peh, all the way from the Vilna Gaon to Rav Chaim of Elazhener, to the Beis Halevi, to Rav Chaim Brisker, to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, to the Rav himself. The night before the execution, the Vilna Gaon visited the Ger Tzedek. The Graf, the Ger Tzedek, began to cry. Vilna Gaon said, why are you crying? Were you afraid of death? Are you afraid of torture? And the Ger Tzedek, no, he's afraid of one thing. In the Olam Ha'emes, he will be lonely. His father was not a Jew. His mother was not a Jew. His entire family was not a Jew. He never married. He didn't have children yet. Halachically speaking, he was all alone. The Graf was single when he was executed, and he would have no immediate family. And why was he crying? Because he was afraid in the Olam Ha'emes he would be alone. The Vilna Gaon quoted the following verse to him from Yeshayahu, Kol Amar Hashem Melech Yisrael V'Golo, Hashem Tzvako. So says God, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the God of hosts. Ani Rishon, I am first. Va'ani Achron, I am last. Umibil adai ein elokim. Ani rishon vani achon. Umibil adai ein elokim. I am first. I am last. Besides me, there is no other. The Vilna Gaon told the Graf. Hashem is saying, I am the first to the one who has no father. I am the last. Ani rishon to the one who has no father. Ani acharon to the one who has no son. Umibil adai ein elokim. There is no other. I said, God, I'm father and child to everyone who has no father and to everyone who has no child. This is the promise of the Almighty. And this is what the Vilna Gaon told the Graf the night before his execution. The Ger Tzedek exclaimed to the Gaon, you have comforted me. Nechamtani, nechamtani. The Gaon left the prison. The Graf was executed the very next day. Baruch Shalom says we go through different times in history. Most of the time, we're zocha to be in the aguda, to be in the minyan. Sometimes, like we're living through now, which we could never have imagined, we find ourselves alone and we find ourselves isolated from family, from kehila, from rabbanim. And I know we have Zoom learning, and I know we have teleconference learning, and I know we have wonderful online sites where we can learn, but we can't go to base knesses, and we don't have the power of the klal. And we feel, in a sense, tifrosh min atzibur. And there's no Berov Am Hajus Melech, because there's no Rov Am. But the Mishnah says, if there's 10 learning, God is there. And if there's 5 learning, God is there. If there's 3, and if there's 2, and a base Medrash, learning a Chavrus Hashav, there's God. But you know what else the Medrash says? If you're all alone, and you open up your heart to the Ribono Shel Olam, and you make that Kav, that line, that connection between you and Him, B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshemi, Avo Elecha, I will come to you. One person, says Hashem. Lahavdo, Miriam Peret says, I don't need multitudes to ignite a soul. Ribbono Shel Olam says, everyone is b'ni b'chori Yisrael. Evo elecha uveirachticha. We should be zocha to go back to the Aguda, to go back to the minyan. The batei knesios, batei midrashos, yeshiva should open. But in the meantime, we have no excuse for severing our connection with God. Where is He? Everywhere. Well, we will let him in. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. I thank you for learning with me. And Bishlus, my mother, who was Baruch Hashem joining us. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you, Rabbitson, for inviting me to speak.